So we'll be on time. Whoever come late, they will kill us. So I will invite 3 other males so that we can get a start. So please sit back and topless yourself. Take a few deep breath so that you can relax the bone in your mind. So, dear friends, today is September 7th, and this is our Tuesday class. And welcome, Colette, new friends. Last Tuesday, we have spoke about the 5 obstacles, the 5 obstacles on the path of happiness, path of joys, and path of freedom. And we have we went over attachments and hatred. Attachment is doesn't you attach to any kind of things when you is prevent you from your path of liberation. Even attached on the path to Nirvana still an aspiration. So you have to use it as a skillful mean for your liberations. Even the sutra, the teaching of the Buddha, if you attach to that, if someone says something bad about the sutra, you're still suffering. The teaching of the Buddha. So, even the best teachings, if you attach to that, it's still you still generate suffering for yourself. So in our everyday life, we attach to many things. If you look, you sit down and you make a list, and you will be like, you can be part of a books of what you attach to. And that's always a hindrance to our joy, our happiness, our peace. And we have spoke a lot about that kind of attachments last class. And also hatred or aggressions. And right after I spoke about hatred or aggressions and carried situations on an airplane, as reality manifests to me right away. So I could tell you this story that it's life story, it's the reality. Last Saturday night, I went to Seattle for a day of attending inaugurations of a new temple. And on my airplane, I met some special situations. And I took a Southwest airline, and then And you can choose any seat that you like. It's depending if you like in a position A or B or C. So I was in B. And I chose the window seat. No, because was my B, but it's almost like 60, so it's all in the back. So I sit the aisle seat, and I came there, and there's two couples was there already. And in front, the row in front, there is one mother, two children, and the other guy, there's one guy. And this mother, she only bought two tickets, so for one, her older daughters, and the young one, she hold on her hand. And on the next row to that, there's three more children. One is in the cradle, and one is on the, she had the seats. And the mother, and the next row in the back, there is two more, two more children, and for one in front of me, all constantly cry, constantly cry, and the one next to that is she cry and she sleep, and the one in the back is okay, and I will sit on the aisle seat. And then this guy and this, I think he's financier or something. Financier and this guy. And whenever this baby cry and this guy was cutting, curse. Whenever baby crying, he keep cursing. I say, what the hell, I'm on the wrong seat. And the whole duration of the trip. The whole duration, and his financier or his wife, I don't know. Sit and she was close her eye close her eye and for a while and he couldn't stand it and he just take out his two phone and his two phone and he tried to somehow play game or somehow and but every time the baby cry he just keep cushion and he's so irritated and I sit next to his financier next year, and I was reading the Dalai Lama's book. Happy birthday! Someone was giving me at the inauguration, so I tried to look at that. And every time this guy was cursing, very badly, he's so angry with this baby cry. And he water a lot of seeds of hatred and aggression in him. So what I do is I sit and meditate, meditate and reach and I send the baby energies, the baby I send the baby the loving energy, loving kind of energy, so that she stop crying. I think she was sick or somehow. She just cry and she couldn't able to stay and she just move. Constantly is like very hyperactive. And I sit there and I read the Dalai Lama pray for the little baby. And this is really good fit for the situations. And this is a may I become at all times both now and forever, a protector for all helpless, a guide for the lost ones, a ship for those who cross the oceans, a bridge to cross the rivers. So when I read that, and I close my eye, so I direct my energies to the baby. And then I meditate for a while. Right, it's love and kindness energy in me. And then next, I read the next verse. And may I become at all times, both now and forever, a sanctuary for those who in danger, a lamp for those in darkness, a refuge for those who need shelter, and a servant to all in need. And I meditate again. I send my energy to the baby. So every time I reach one verse and I meditate about 5 minutes. And this really matched me at that situation. Give rise to love and kindness. And the fourth one is, may I with you go over the river of birth, the river of death, and the river of rebirth. That's the next versions. And the last version is, may I become at all times a bit for peace, a bit for love, and a peaceful smile. And I looked at the picture of Dalai Lama. He was smiling. And after I read all this, and I read the whole book of prayer for the Dalai Lama, wishing for him to be a longevity. After I read all this, and I was send my loving energies to the guy too,
yeah.
Because he's so upset. He's so burned. You know, duration of the flight is 2 hours and 30 minutes from here to Seattle, and from Seattle back. And imagine that he was angry, upset himself for 2 hours, 30 minutes, constantly burn himself. He never, I see at his face, he never able to be at peace with himself. And he's so much carried by the external environment. And if we don't practice, we'll be the same, because it's so irritating that the baby just keep cry. And then I was there and I contemplated about the mother, you know. And every one of you here may be a mother somehow. Yeah, because I was thinking of a positive quality of her. Imagine that you have to be with your child, constantly cry for 2 hours and a half. Then you must be very loving. And you must be very patient. So I was contemplating patience. And that's a lesson for me to learn. It's a real patience model. A real patience model there.
I was impatient with myself this afternoon because Paulette was driving and we came from the other direction. And you wouldn't believe this, how long I've been coming here. I couldn't find the place. I made her turn around,
mm-hmm.
go back, and then turn around again, and come back. I just couldn't find the place, and I was getting really upset with myself
mm-hmm.
for it. And at that moment, of course, I forgot what I learned here. You know, but I was so in the moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I... what it is.
See, you when you learn, but you then... Sometimes you learn knowledgely, intellectually, but when you encounter the real situations of life, and you can test, you really test your study. Sometimes I tell you, you can be forget, but when you encounter real situations, so I can teach about patience. But when I go there and I directly see that how much the mother being patient to, you know, little by her child the whole time, and she know that people irritating outside
mm-hmm.
around, but she very calm to just hold her child on her hand and little by her try to put her to sleep for 2.5 hours. And it was so beautiful to like her sister. I think she's about 4 or 5 years old, sit next to her, and she was quiet. She was quiet, and her sister, younger sister, was do a lot of irritation stuff and crying. So I put my soul into her situation. I asked myself, am I able to do that for 2.5 hours with a baby cry? And you are mother, somehow that your children do something, you have to be patient, because you can do anything to hurt him or her, right? Because it's your own blood, and the child is so fragile, right? But you know that the people around is very upset. This guy was saying out loud, say, he said, F work a lot of time. But she was calm, she said, and you know, and I was sympathize with her. I was sympathize that. I said, imagine if I was in her situation, what, I asked myself, what will I do? You know, you can very upset with your child. So in that case, I really see the teaching is to put the teaching into practice, into testing. It's really obvious, the teaching, the Dharma is there, in the situation. The teaching of the Buddha is right there. So that's why the Buddha say that the worldly teaching is the teaching of the Buddha. If you know how to turn it around and make it into the teaching of the Buddha. Because, so use the worldly situations and to see through that, you see the teaching is arising. So in that case, you really practice the love and kindness. Love and kindness. I can see the guy, the angry man, I can see the child, I can see the mother. The people who are victim of hatred is there. Is that man. He don't know that he is killing himself. You see, when you do that, you're killing yourself. But you don't know. For 2 hours, 2.5 hours, in anger, a very strong emotional anger. And you kill yourself the whole time. And you plant so many negative seeds in your consciousness. But I see that I was so joy and happy. Because I see the situation. See, the man was the victim, the child was so fragile. The child was so fragile, him or herself. But see, maybe discomfort in her own body and her mind, right? That's why she cried. Cries, you know, up and down, stand up and down, pulls moving around, cry, and the mother is there, try to live by her, to the child. When I was there, I really, really put myself in this situation of practice of love and kindness. I can see what the mother went through. Imagine that you have your child that for your whole life, many years of your life, and until she grows, how much are you tolerate? If you have some child like that, you must be very patient. You must be very patient in order to love your child. Otherwise, you cannot love. You can be a victim of hatred too. If you couldn't able to tolerate your child's attitude or your child's discomfort. Imagine at night that your child was up and crying. And you have children and you know. Your children is up at night, in the middle of the night, and cry. And then you have to get up to either to feed, to give her meal, or, you know, and change her diaper, and all that stuff went through my mind. And that I was thinking of my mom. I said that my mom must go through that. Because my dad told me that when I was young, I have a lot of illness. I was sick, I almost died many times. I was not very comfortable in my body and mind, and I constantly cry. That's how my dad tell me. And my mom had to hold me on her shoulder whole night, and they take turn. My mom passed away when I was 3 years, and fortunately that she only, I be with her 3 years. But in that 3 years, she already have a lot of suffer with me. In that 3 years, I cry, I make so much painful for her, create so much painful for my mom. So I was thinking of my mom at that moment. So when I just spoke about hatred and I really and care, situation where hatred arise, aggression arise. And we all have strong sea of aggression in us, you know? Strong sea. And this how this aggression and hatred is killing us is one of the ignorance. Three poisons, the Buddha say. One of the poisons that ruin our whole life. All this attachment, hatred, and ignorance is ruined. So hatred is one of the poison that the Buddha is talking about. And here is, in that case, he said that it's three poison, but in this case, here is obscurations to the path. So how can we deal with the hatred in us, Lisa?
And another aspect of that for me when I hear you talking about that is as when I've tried to do that, and when I've confronted those situations and tried to send positive energy or soothing energy to the baby or to the person who's angry, and without, what's difficult for me is to do that without attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And a related thing is when I see the anger and hatred in my kids, and I know that it's a poison, I know it's harmful, and wanting to stop it,
mm-hmm.
but the way I'm trying to stop it doesn't seem to work. It seems to make it worse. And then, so how to kind of, what can we do, and how do we kind of get ourselves in a place where we don't get attached to an outcome,
mm-hmm.
and where we don't cling to like the worry of stopping it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, when you have that thought, you say that and think of that person who are angry, who are hateful, if you give rise to the some kind of understanding, you say that, oh, him or he must be very suffering. That's why he do that, or she do that. If he or she is not suffering internally, then I don't think he or she is going to do that. Because he or she is not at ease with his or her body and her mind. That's why he or she give rise to that accents. So when the moment you think of that, and your mind already calmed down somehow. The moment you think of that, you already give rise to generosity, love, and kindness. Because the moment I think of that, I give rise, and I have the tool right away, and I sit down and I give rise to love and kindness, and that first is healing yourself first. You heal yourself, heal yourself first. Self-healing. It first.
So if something upsets me,
mm-hmm.
and I know that I can't deal with it,
mm-hmm.
right then, and
mm-hmm.
at that moment I can't give love and I can't give kindness,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time I don't want to show anger,
mm-hmm.
I normally take a time out,
mm-hmm.
and that,
yeah.
I,
mm-hmm.
don't say anything.
Yes.
I simply remove myself from the situation,
mm-hmm.
Give thought to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, at a later time,
mm-hmm.
and that way I clear my conscience and I could do that.
Yes.
Is that the correct,
mm-hmm.
way, or is just,
yeah, so that if you know that in yourself you are your emotion, strong emotion arising, then don't act. Don't act here, don't speak. If you speak, you create the language that is not, is very painful. Because you speak, or you act, you will act or speak on your emotion. And that's why many people involve into suicide or killing. At that moment, they act on that, their hatred, act on their painful emotion, and they not control themselves at the moment, and they lost control of themselves. But if you have some, you're able to slow down and don't act on that, then you are very good. you're able somehow able to control, manage the situation, you manage your own emotion at that moment. So normally we do, what we do is we act on that emotions, and that's why we create distractions. Cool, Marine?
I can't very often do this, but when I can, lots of times I can take the breath and remove myself and not act right then. The challenge for me is to look underneath and to see where the seed came from,
mm-hmm.
so that I know what is it in me that's reacting, because if I could understand that,
mm-hmm.
or get insight into that, then maybe I can help that seed not to have to come back so quickly. If I understand what historical hurt or whatever is being touched in me that would generate that anger. And sometimes when I heard Lisa talk about the children, I think about the challenge and the gift to help them.
Mm-hmm.
If they never got angry, they would never learn how to be mindful of it, you know?
Mm.
So that they can learn in a safe environment, which I know they do. I know they do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Marie, Holly, you want to have this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
What happens after you lose control?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go back and, you feel terrible afterwards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you, after you lose control of yourself or the unable to manage such emotion, that's where we normally create distractions. After we lose control of our emotion or ourselves, and then after the guilt and regrets coming, because after the action is over, and that's why many people was. That's why we have a lot of guilt because of that, because we're not able to manage the emotion, and let the emotion carry out the destruction. So the first thing is to, that's why the Buddha say we have to recognize right away the movement is to give rise to that thought. So that's why we practice, otherwise. That's why we practice is to able to recognize that right away when the situation arrives. So and then when we recognize it, we're able to somehow we manage ourselves and manage our emotion. And because we have learned, so we have the tool to work with. Some tool to work with that emotion. Hatred, anger, attachment, like that. You have tool to work with. So the Buddha give us tool to work with. The means to work with that emotion.
What is the practice?
Here's the practice here, for example, for hatred or for the aggression. So first is we have the tool of breathing. So come back to our breath. And then slow down our action. After you take a few deep breaths, if you're not able to do that, but just to, if you're not able to manage your breath, then just slow down your action. And don't speak. Because you speak right away, and then you will carry out action. And that's why it's where many students happen. And then after that, you have a chance of regression. Many emotions come and it's overwhelm you after the action is over. And you either become self-hatred, now you, before you will hate other, aggression toward other, but now you become, after the action is over, you become self-hatred here. That I hate myself because I'm not able to manage my emotion, I'm not manage the situation. You see, it's turned to self, and self-hatred is happened a lot in our society, Western society. Self-hatred. That's why people kill themselves. Suicide is self-hatred. I don't like myself. First you don't like someone else, and then you turn back. I don't like myself. Either is I have to end my life if I don't like myself. Lisa?
I've told this story before. One, so I homeschool kids, and I have lots of seeds of anger from ancestors and from my own life and for whatever reasons. And so I apologize a lot because I end up doing stuff and I stop better than I used to, but I still act on things that I wish I didn't. And so I apologize a lot. And my daughter had started a Friday school program. And she came home and it was the morning, and I don't want to go, the art teacher, so she's going to yell at me. And and I said, well, I yell at you all the time, you know. And she said, yeah, but you always say you're sorry. So that was a very telling thing for me, to at least know that that apology stood for something, meant something for her. And then another just experience I had this past weekend was I have a daughter who can get very negative and perseverate, and just everything is bad. She's bad, everybody's bad, and nothing is good. So I was like, okay, we're sitting down, and you're going to say 10 good things about your life. And it took her forever. And it was so hard for her to say it.
Mm.
It was sad. And she didn't, and then we moved. She didn't want any of her siblings around when we did it. She didn't want her dad around. And so we were moving around the house, and I was like, okay, one nice thing in this room. What do you like in this room? And we finally got to 10 things. And she giggled in the midst of it, which was lovely. And then her siblings wanted to do it, and that just made her mad. But it was just a very interesting process to see how thick the negativity was, and yet we could break through. And just that taking that time to just say, okay, there are positive things. And I had to do that when I was in college. My aunt gave me a little journal to write 10 good things that happened every day. So I showed that to her because I still have it. And I'm like, see, I had to do it too. And some days it was flossing my teeth was the good thing that happened that day. But that was a good thing. So,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that story. And you see this hatred or aggression is really an obstacle to our meditations. It's obstacle first into your life, but when you sail down your mind and your body, then it's an obstacle to your quietness. So the Buddha said the 5 obstacles and he meant for the meditation. When you sit down and all this comes back in your mind, and it's irritating your body. So it's hatred in creations, an obstacle to our meditations, our stillness, or our quietness doing that. So when he's saying that to his disciple, and he say that, then if it's an obstacle to your meditation, then you have to give rise to something to replace that. That obstacle. So that's why the Dalai Lama say, give rise to love and kindness. And here he say that, I vow to be a protector of helpless. A protector. Vow. May I be a protector for the helpless. So that when you say that, mean you give rise to some kind of love and kindness in your heart. And this first is healing you. This first is soothing you when you say that. May I be the protector for the helpless. And in our, we ourselves already helpless. Sometimes you see ourselves very helpless, right? Helpless. So when you give rise to that thought, you become stronger in yourself. May I be a protector and a guide for the lost one. Guide. And we are lost somehow in this life. That's why we're here. We lost somehow. And many of us lost. We lost our direction in life. So if you're lucky, you meet someone that have a spiritual practice, guide you along the path. So that's those people who have, they have generated many promise to help people. So the Dalai Lama say that, may I be protected for the helpless. May I be a guide for the lost one. We adore here, we got lost too. Lost, confused in our life. Sometimes we sit at home, we don't know how our mind is doing. It's running in 10,000 directions. You're lost in your mind already. Doesn't mean you have a big house, you are have directions. Doesn't mean that you reach immature, doesn't mean that you have direction in your life. Material things you seem to be rich, but spiritual things we are very poor. Very poor. And when you keep right to this thought, you feel different. Whenever I sit down and I close my eye, I keep right to this, I feel so different. I feel so strong, I feel so peace, I feel so joy. And I sit in the, on the airplane the whole duration of the time. I feel much love by this generally written the Dalai Lama's wishes for all beings. And I look at his picture, this picture, and this, he's like a baby, little lion. Just like a baby. So he said that, may I be a safe for those who cross the ocean. The ocean here is the ocean of birth and death. The ocean of birth and death. And he said, may I be a bridge to the people who cross over. Here is the connection between you and all beings. And we have this, every day you read this, you feel different. So I suggest that you should read this all day. No, one day, one time a day. And then you feel see different. Because your heart is open, you see. If you be a guider, you be a protector. Then your heart must be big in order to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Do that. Then you will overcome this hatred in yourself. And I tell you another story on the here too, on the HS, on that trip too. I went to Thay Phap Dang's place, and the driver who took me to the Thay Phap Dang's place, another, and he tell me, and then I sit in the car, I tell him a lot of things, a lot of story, and he tell me a story. He say that a HS story when we talking about, and he said that. He tell me a true story of this lady. He said that this lady somehow that he so hate her husband and after the divorce. And wherever he stand, wherever he stand, and after he left, and he got a shovel and shoveled that and put it away. She hate this man. He's her husband before. And wherever he stand or wherever he sit, after that she have to wash the chair or you know shovel the dirt to move away, to put away. And so, I mean, in her heart, this hatred is so strong. How can someone that you before you love, you share, and after many years you produce children, now you become something, some your enemy. And you never, and then never forget. If you do that, you plant so many seeds of hatred in your head, in your consciousness. And when I listened to that story, I feel so pity for her. know? And it's happened to many of us among in our society. You know? The more you hate, the more you kill yourself. You kill yourself. Nobody will kill you. That's where you get illness. That's where you get cancer. Because you accumulate this energy, you attract this force into your body and your mind. Attracting this energy into your body. And that's how you get sick. Nobody generate illness for us, create illness. We do it for ourselves. The way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we speak, that creates illness for us. So, but after that, we are ill, we are sick, we go externally and blame on either environment or either people, you know, like that. But we don't know that we've been created for ourselves. Imagine this lady just keep doing that herself, day by day like that, any moment, even in her sleep. She was sick one day, I bet. Because that's what how she generates the energy in herself. So we have to pay for our stupidity. We have to pay for our stupidity. Ignorance. And this happens every day in our life. So if you are a wise practitioner, then you shouldn't do this for yourself. You get influenced by an external, you get the external environment and you bring it to yourself and you create for yourself. Yes, there's some sea of illness that we've been transmitted by our parents, our ancestors, our environmental. But at the same time, we also create for ourselves. But if we're able to have internally, we are strong, then that will be not influenced in us. You know why is in sometimes in an epidemic and so many people die and some people don't, right? Because they have a strong mind. The body and the mind is very healthy. Once our body and our mind is weak, you slowly you attract illness to ourselves. Even though we live in this, even we live in a healthy environment. And this, the seeds of hatred in us, thousands of years already. Life after life, we have been generating that seeds of hatred in us. And then because we have that internally, then when we expose to the environment and both come right away, the right condition, and things manifest. Hatred manifests itself. But if inside you don't have that, no problem. Yes. Just like Dalai Lama, for example. Just like Tay. They all expose into very strong emotional situations. But they're healthy. They're healthy. Because internally, they have a lot of the seeds of kindness in them too strong. And every situation, they turn around. They turn around in every situation. So this seeds of hatred, if it's strong in us, then our meditation will be we have a lot of difficulty in our meditations. That's one. There's many other more, but if you have strong seeds, it's hard to sit. For example, if you sit down and there's this seeds coming up in you and you become very, it's like heat in you, burning you. Then it's really hard for meditation. So that's why it is an obscuration to meditation. And it is an obscuration to happiness. If you have this strong in you, you cannot be happy. Day by day, you cannot be. And you see this in people. some people you know in their life, and they have this. I see this people in my life, some people in my life, they have a lot of strong seeds of hatred and whatever. Situation come, they become angry right away. How can they be happy? How can they be happy? And then obstacle to your happiness, your peacefulness. You have this. And you always knew it's like war inside, internally, fighting. Emotionally fighting, externally, environment fighting. And whoever you encounter in life, you don't see them as a good sentient being. You can see them as an obstacle for you. Whatever comes into your way, you see that. So practice to train this, the more you're able to transform this seeds in you. Until you have read the whole book about this, anger, and aggression, about this whole book. And you read that book of anger. In English, it's the bestseller. When it's come out, it's the bestseller. Anger. Elan?
You know, the one thing that helped me, that I was introduced to Thich Nhat Hanh's writings in 2000. I went to my first retreat in 2001, and I bought a CD at the retreat, or a tape back then. They didn't have CDs. And it was about dealing with anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have listened to that one, you know, it's a 2-hour tape. I listened to this one 10-minute segment. I must have listened to it 300 times before it finally sunk in. And because what he said was, when a strong emotion comes up, whether it's anger or fear or hatred or whatever it is, be with the emotion, cradle it like a baby, take care of it like a mother would take care of a baby. And I thought, what's he talking about? But something told me to keep listening to it. So I kept listening to it, and it finally sunk in. Oh, okay. It's okay for me to be angry. It's okay for me to have my anger or my hatred or whatever the emotion is. What's not okay is what I do with it. It's okay for me to own it. It's okay for me to have it. But it's not okay for me to direct it at somebody else. I have to take care of it and do something else with it. And it's taken a long time to be able to turn it around.
Mm.
And I wish I learned this when I was your age. I wish I learned it when I was your kid's age. I remember when I lived with my sister for a semester in college, and her daughter was, my niece was 3 years old. And she came into my room one day and said, "Auntie Lane, I hate you, go home." And I was just devastated that this little 3-year-old kid hates her aunt. You know, and I call my mother, "What am I going to do? I have to move out." She said, "No, you don't." And, you know, my mother was a very wise woman. And she said, "Tell her, it's okay if you hate me. I love you anyway, and see what happens." Mm-hmm. So I did. The next time she came to me and said, "I hate you, Auntie Lane, you have to leave." I said, "That's okay. I love you anyway." And what I realized was she was just repeating something she had heard. And she really didn't know what it meant. And so I was able to turn that around. But I remember when something you might try with the kids is, my mom, when I was young, around your kid's age, she used to say to me, when I'd say I hate somebody, or she'd hear me say something mean to one of my friends or about one of my friends, she'd say, "How would you feel if someone said that to you?" And she always made me stop and think about, how would I feel if someone said that to me? And it really helped me stop being mean to people till I got to be an adult.
Then I went back to, you know, before my mother's advice, and, you know, then I had to turn the whole thing around. But no, Thich Nhat Hanh talks about the book on anger, different things. Just, it's okay. It took me a while to get it into my head that it's okay for me to have all these emotions. It's okay for me to feel this way. It's what I do with it that's the problem. And so that's what I had to learn all over again. Because basically that's what my mom was saying to me too, was, you know, how would you feel if someone said that to you? Oh, okay. Same thing.
Yeah. Thank you, Elaine. So if you, when you have this, you think of other people, how you feel, and think of other people's feeling. How you feel and things that other people feeling. If you feel hurt, you feel pain, and other people will be the same. Because normally we are very so much into ourselves. Into ourselves. And we get lost, you know, think of other people. So if you hate yourself and you say think of how if other people hate you, feel pain. And this hatred, when I sit back and I look back, you know, all the slavery, all the dark stuff, is linked with attachment and hatred. Attachment is the desire to serve your own ego. You see, slavery, even the slavery time, and also it's triggered the war. You know, first world war and second world war is hatred and aggression. You see, all the war is on this. If the strong see in each individual strongly, and it projects into our society, and that's where start war start. You see that start from our own individual hatred, anger, and then as everybody does that, and it's coming to collective, and then we come together to create war, trick the war, because of our attachment, our desire. Look, attachment is greedy. And then it's trigger hatred, and many others. It's chain of negative mental follow after that. Maureen?
I heard it a radio a story in the news on my way up that I found pretty upsetting. And I know that I need to focus on my stuff and my transforming that. And it's difficult to know when to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a minister in Florida who has decided that on Saturday, he's decided that Islam is of the devil, and so he's going to have a formal burning of the Quran, you know, to burn the devil's book.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people are pleading with him not to do that, because
mm-hmm.
it shows such disrespect for other people and their beliefs.
Yes, create more violence.
Exactly, and even General Petraeus has said, please don't, because more of our soldiers, you know, more people will die in Afghanistan if you do this.
Yeah.
And Indonesia people are already protesting against it.
Mm-hmm.
And how to... I mean, that's a very far away situation, it's not, but how to deal with some of
mm-hmm.
those situations to help transform,
see.
Because it feels so destructive,
mm-hmm.
But that's me being judgmental.
Mm-hmm. See, when he do that, he provoke a lot of hatred from the people who believe in the Quran. Quran for them. Quran is nothing. Quran is neutral itself, but how we put our intention into the Quran, that's create the problem, the destruction, the war, the discrimination. See, We should create something to promote peace instead of doing that. For promote a lot of anger, see? Provoke a lot of anger. Robert, did you want to say something? You want to say something?
I personally can't understand how anyone that had read the Quran would act that way towards it. This morning, by 9 o'clock, I was notified by two of my friends that lost their houses in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
One related quite in a different way, quite strong. This is the way that it is, and you know, going with resources to put his life together again. The other was quite different. But what happened after I got off the phone with both of them is recalling 10 years ago, fires that I was in the middle of and how it affected me. And in the recorded consciousness, the reaction was still there. Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Towards perhaps their own situations and how I felt when I was confronted with it myself. So, I don't know, it's kind of rocked me today, you know. I guess it's what one goes through in their life, what they can deal with and what they can't deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think in every day, through our actions, our speech, our thinking, we couldn't try do whatever not to give rise to all these thoughts of hatred in yourself and in other people. Because through your action, your speech, and your intention, your thoughts, this seeds planting, seeds of hatred is planting. So whatever we do, you know, try not to. Is provoke the right word? Provoke
mm-hmm.
to the seeds of hatred in the external environment and inside ourselves. So if someone tried to, this blood that he's a priest, right? Christian priest?
He's a minister.
He's a minister.
Minister. Yeah, if that minister do that, he provokes a lot of anger and hatred. Maybe the Muslim people and the other, even not the Muslim people either, you know. Do that. If you see that there's some action, it's not right, it's not pretty, being peaceful, we try to do, to have a dialogue for that, instead of doing that, you know. And it's provoke more violence in our society, in our country and other countries too, you know. So we have to be very, very, very careful in what we do. How we speak and how we think. It's very important.
Maybe we could put together a letter to a mosque that says that this is, you know, we are a group of people that this does not resonate with,
mm-hmm.
and we want to let you know that we're standing with you or so, you know, something like that, even to a local mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then I don't know if there'd be some way to, like, Greg Mortensen's organization in Afghanistan put together a donation or something so they can build more schools, and he's done a really beautiful job of reaching out to the Muslim communities there.
And that community in Florida, there are lots of people of many faiths who are speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire department said open burning is not okay, so the fire department is going to be there with a hose.
Mm-hmm.
So if the people who are feeling the anger and feeling the hurt,
maybe we can cool them off.
So we have.
Well, if they can see the spaciousness, if they have enough, if they can get past their own hurt from man and his congregation's action, to see the people around them standing with them, and I think also I think it would be lovely tonight we can dedicate our meditations to the people suffering from the fire. We have several some of the members up here.
So you have to have the host of love and kindness. Love and that's why you have to generate the love and kindness to have that, to put the subside the you know the burning. So we have you know, when we practice, we have to able to embrace others' practice also, you know, respect and embrace other people practice. And if they don't find happiness, or you know, sometimes you find happiness in that practice for them, you know. But if you are, some people are very dogmatic, then it's a problem, you know. So dogmatic, then it's become. But we have to have to embrace all religions, you know? And so if everybody able to embrace, then you know we create peace, not we create war. So if we do in our ignorance, our hatred, then we always create war for ourselves. And you see that it projects from our internally in us, by that project it out. To the society, to the environment. So if you don't have tranquility, you don't have peace or love and kindness in your heart, then it's really hard. And you'll be carried by this train outside, you see? And that's many people, by the train of influence or externally. So you have to come back to yourself and and generate the source internally in you, you know? So put up the fire of hatred and anger in us. Let's come back. So in your meditations, you always practice love and kindness. Meditation is the best to heal yourself. And we need self-healing, you know. Nobody can. External is good too, but first we have to start ourselves, self-healing. And meditation, love and kindness meditation is a self-healing. And once you yourself is healed, then you can do any work of whatever aspect in your life you do, you bring benefits. Because it's radiated from your heart. From the step that you make, from the way that you think, everything. Mm-hmm. So everything is start with ourselves. So the Buddha said, let's come back and work with our mind in our own meditations. And recognize the seas of obscurations. We all have obscurations or hindrances in ourselves. Yes. Even in our way of communication. And if you have a lot of these seeds of hatred in us, then it's block the path of communications. And it's very difficult for people to approach you. Just imagine that every time you spoke out and your air is just only hatred, how can people can breathe that air? It's really hard to breathe. You know? It's really hard to breathe, and you don't want to be around. That's why you lost, and then you come back. If you have this, and you come back to yourself, blame yourself. Say, how come I don't have friend? You see, come back, and we blame ourselves, condemn ourselves too. And we don't look back and say, oh, what kind of sea I have, you know? What I have, what had I been planned for this? As a self, if something happened to yourself, as a self, what have I done through my actions, my speech, and my intentions? As a self, that. And give yourself some moment of meditation. You know? You don't have to sit on a cushion to meditate. You know, you can stand by the tree and meditate, you know? With a breeze in the air come by, a little by you. Mm-hmm. You know? It's beautiful. Sit by the borders and meditate. You know? And when your mind is calm, you can see all this, and you can turn all this around. This is a skillful means. It's like a means for you. If you don't have all this inside you, it's very hard to have compassion too. But you know how to work with it, and you turn it around, and you make yourself stronger, and you become a loving person. You know? That's when you realize this. So today we just share hatred, and next time you can share. Because we all experience some kind of anger in us, some kind of hatred in us. Everybody experiences this. It's no exception. Even children. And it's become, when you calm down, it's become a lesson, you know. You learn the lessons. Every time that you have some hatred, don't forget to learn a lesson. Don't forget to learn a lesson from that. What have I done to create this? And it, but just not to. When you ask the question, you open the door for yourself. For yourself. Calm down and ask a question. And after that, you turn around and then you can be a guider, a protector. The people around you. You can be a protector for your children. Yeah, you are protectors. Some parents, they abandon their children because in themselves they're not able to protect themselves. So that's why they abandon the children or abuse. But many of our parents is a protector for children, because children is who is your continuations. Carry you to the future. Beautiful future or not is what you plan, right? What you plan is bear the fruit. So your children will carry you, continue you to the future. To the future. So you plan a lot of hatred in your children, then that's how he or she will carry you through. Through. See, the Buddha is a very wise man. He always plant good seeds for his disciple, and his disciple continued to carry him so far. You know, the Buddha been passing away in Nirvana for 2,500 years already, but his student Dalai Lama, his student continued to carry him in the future beautifully. Right? That's how. That's how, I mean, he plants the seed 2,500 years already, but it's continued to blossom one generation after the next. And because the Buddha know that this seed is always in all sentiments, regardless of religion, Muslim, Christian, Protestant, doesn't matter, we all have the seeds here, but might be practice different aspects. So that's why we have to embrace all. If someone do something bad or something is unwholesome, we have the responsibility to help him or her out. Right? You have to. So that's we are brother and sister in the path. So we will stop here. See, I can talk endlessly about about angers, about and this is what we work around. Spiritual teacher is working about this, you know, attachment, anger, hatred, discrimination. We all work around this in different way. to build a strong character, the beautiful qualities for all practitioners. So next time we'll talk about sleepiness, all this. Yeah.
Will it make us go to sleep?
Yes. Yeah. Why sleepiness is an aspiration. We all need to sleep somehow. So I will invite you to be able to stop here, and so you can relax a little bit. Take a few minute break, so then we will do our meditations.